Larith and Evans on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
On this Is It Just Me Friday, can I bring my own to the table?
Sure.
Is it just me, or yesterday was a great example of why March Madness is the most unique sporting event there is on our sports calendar? Because you have these schools that we've never heard of, featuring players we've never heard of, come out and on that stage do something that instantly transforms them into a national phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Golke. Okay?
Yeah.
This is the guy for Oakland last night,
mm-hmm,
who hit 10 threes. Only the fifth player in NCAA tournament history to have 10 or more threes in a game. Jack Golke for Oakland was a zero-star recruit with no Division I offers coming out of high school. Played at Division II Hillsdale College for 5 seasons, doing Uber and DoorDash on the side. Entered the transfer portal before this season and received only one D1 offer. That was from Oakland. Took the offer and in his first season led Oakland to a Horizon League championship and an NCAA tournament. And then last night against Blue Blood Kentucky, hit 10 three-pointers.
It's incredible.
Where else is that happening?
No.
Other than maybe, you know, you have a John Daly who comes from out of nowhere to win the PGA championship all those years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You have your kind of tin cup type story, right? But other than that,
I was getting,
where do you get stories like this?
I was getting, and I know he had a better career and everything, but I was getting almost Jimmer Fredette kind of vibes from him. Remember when Jimmer just got into the tournament? He just got going. And, you know, and he became a national phenomenon.
But that's what makes the tournament. That's what makes, you know, somebody sent in a text. Is it just me or day one of the tournament was starch blandness, not March Madness? Like, it was boring. What do you mean boring?
Mm.
You had terrific finishes. How about Dayton? Stunning. Nevada the way they did with their comeback. You got the Oakland upset of Kentucky. It's what makes this tournament so unique. It's honestly what makes the first 4 days of the tournament better than the last 4 days of the tournament.
Yeah, there's always the big ups. Well, that was a 14-3 upset.
Yeah, 3 over 14. Or 14 over 3.
You know where Oakland is?
I assume it's in Michigan, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in Michigan.
Yeah.
Why would you assume that it's in Michigan?
I don't know. I think it's in Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Why would I say assume? I assume it's in Michigan? Why would that be an assumption?
I don't know.
You're right. That's fair. Thank you.
Allow me to be as blunt as a scroll. That was just dumb.
Touché.
That was just a dumb word.
Good job. You're right. That was wrong.
By the way, blunt as a spoon.
Yes, go ahead. Oh my God.
It was in my craw. And even Johnny, which just surprised me, Johnny and Rogue didn't know. It was a line in Mrs. Doubtfire. That's probably where I picked it up from.
Blunt as a spoon?
Blunt as a spoon. Mrs. Doubtfire used it. Oh, I'm being blunt as a spoon. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You want to drop some of those other lines?
Huh.
Something about chipping your teeth?
Yeah, no. I'll probably stay off the other lines, but yeah, there's some other things.
But that's what makes the tournament the tournament, is to have that kind of moment.
Mm-hmm.
And to see John Calipari sulk his way off the court. Oh,
right.
I enjoyed that. I don't know. There's something about Calipari that just... I know big-time college sports is dirty, right? I know it's dirty.
Oh, sure.
Right? Big-time college sports is dirty. But there's something about Calipari that's just even more... slimy.
Mm.
There's just something about him that's just...
Yeah, he's a guy that a lot of people just don't care for.
Yeah.
He's never rubbed me the wrong way. It's never really bothered me that much. But I know there are a lot of people that just don't like the guy. And I can see why.
Is it just me? You guys are making the Peyton critics' point. It was the QB in all those scenarios. So we're bringing up the idea that if Breeze made Sean Payton, then Elway made Shanahan, Brady made Belichick, Aikman yeah. made Jimmy Johnson, all those other quarterback coach combinations. Well, then I guess we have to have a whole nother conversation. Then Mahomes made Reed. So what about it then? Is the coach? How important is the coach? You were there when the Broncos were winning two Super Bowls with John Elway as the quarterback and Mike Shanahan as the coach. You tell me, what was Mike Shanahan's role in this? How important was he?
Huge. From a game planning, the stuff we did game planning wise, where he would present something to us that was so simplistic, but you're like, oh my God, he's right. And then he'd say, this is exactly how they're going to line up, and this is exactly what they're going to do, and we're going to do this, and this is, and we're just going to gut them on this. And then everything he does, you line up and you do it, and it's right. The point is that coaches are reliant upon players. You got to have great players. But those coaches put them in the positions to be great. Listen, there's no question. You think Tom Brady would have been Tom Brady if he gets shipped to an organization or if he gets drafted by an organization that has no plan and doesn't have a vision? You know, like, I told this story on our podcast yesterday about the vision of organizations and how I showed up to my teammates' workout and begged for workouts, and teams were like, absolutely. And then when I flashed in the workouts, they all of a sudden became interested, except for one team. One team couldn't have cared less. And it just goes to show you about organizations. One team, like, treated me like garbage when I showed up, and the only reason they let me work out is because I was Marvin's friend. Marvin Washington, my teammate at Idaho. And, you know, me being snarky and my snarky self, I'm like, hey, what'd you guys think of that, you know, that set I just took? And they're like, this guy is annoying the crap out of us. But instead of looking at those 40s and looking at everything I did, they had nothing to do with me. It's one team, the Jets,
mm-hmm.
the team that hasn't won anything. Every other team, and I probably worked out for 20 teams, were just like, holy, put me on their radar. Went upstairs to watch film. One team couldn't have cared less. And that was the Jets. So you're telling me if Brady gets drafted by the Jets, you think they turn Brady into a household name? Nope. You know what? He probably bounces around. They cut him. Remember, they kept Brady as a fourth-string quarterback because Belichick and Mr. Kraft saw something in him that they thought, you know what? This kid has got a little something to him. We're going to keep him around.
Great points. But you just triggered another, is it just me? Is it just me, or why do we call billionaire sports owners Mr.? What makes them so special that they've earned the right to be called Mr.? Why do we have to call him Mr. Kraft? Why do we have to call him Mr. Bolin? Why? Just.
It's a good point.
Why? You ever notice that?
Yeah. You know, now that you mentioned
it. Why do we bestow upon them that kind of label?
That's a great
point. I get the point that if you're, you know, you could be in your 50s or 60s, and if you're around one of your buddies' mm-hmm. Older really old dad, let's say, for example, that you knew when you were a kid, you're going to call him Mr. no matter how old you get, right?
Right, right.
That's fine, but what is, just call him Robert? What has Bob Kraft done that is so special that we have to call him Mr. Kraft?
Great question, Mike. I'm really glad you asked that.
You know, when he came into our...
And as much as, Pat Bowlen, awesome. What, I mean, nobody was a better owner than Pat Bowlen. Can we just leave it at that? Why does he have to be Mr. Bowlen?
He was Mr. B, but you're right.
Right, why?
So once you get a certain... How much money do you have to have before you automatically get called Mr.?
Exactly.
When he checks into the hotel, do you think he puts down Bob Kraft or Mr. Kraft? Or when he checks into a massage, what?
Oh.
Too soon?
I don't think he's anything Kraft when he shows up at the Orchids place. I think it's just some total other alias, right? At that point, he's just Bob. Hello, Bob.
Good to see you again. Bob Parr.
Good to see you again, Bob.
All right.
Yeah, but why Mister? I guess it's...
You get to a certain... How much money do you have to have before everybody calls you Mister?
Yeah, exactly. Like...
You have to be a billionaire before
At one point, you were just Bob Kraft.
Right.
Do you guys want to be called Mister?
No.
What about Lord?
Ooh, I do like that.
Lord Vader?
Or Sir?
Lord Schlereth.
Of the Schlereth. The Schlereth always remember their debt. Always pay their debts. Yeah. A Schlereth always pays his debts. Lord Schlereth.
Lord.
That is kind of cool. I'm just sorry. I just got caught there thinking about being a Lord.
You're right.
But no, at one point he was Bob Kraft. So what? He builds a business and...
Builds a billion dollar business,
is lucky enough to buy an NFL franchise. Yeah,
where did Daniel Snyder earn the right to be called Mr. Snyder?
Right?
He hadn't earned it.
Why? Any. Yeah, because
he's a billionaire.
Because you know, around all these NFL buildings that you go to every single...
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires paperless plan, auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Is it just me, or do you think Bob Kraft's alias at the massage parlors is Paxton Lynch? Hey. We're done smearing Paxton Lynch.
That's right.
Okay, we're done. He's paid his penance.
You know what he probably signs in
he's
under?
He's done his time.
Yeah. You know what he signs in?
What do you think?
Probably Mr. Unlimited.
Now, as far as smearing that guy, we just started. We just started.
It's commitment from us to you, people.
That's right.
We've made the commitment.
That's right.
Every day.
Where are we at to day 10? Day 10 of the Paxton or the Russell Wilson smear campaign. Which will continue until the Broncos find their solution at quarterback.
Yeah.
By the way, as we sit here right now.
Okay.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're free to change this as we get closer to it. But as we sit here right now, do the Broncos draft a quarterback in the first round?
All right. If they're
it could be anywhere in the first round, meaning do they trade up to draft a quarterback? Do they stay put and draft a quarterback? Or do they trade back and still draft a quarterback in the first round?
Can I put they have to stay?
I just gave you three different qualifications. You want more?
I'm just putting one qualification that eliminates the wordiness and the unnecessary nature of three. They just have to sit at 12. They can't move off of 12.
Okay.
Do they draft a quarterback if they just sit at 12? Do they draft a quarterback at 12 or a football player?
if you had to call it right now.
Draft a football player. They don't get a quarterback. I would say they don't get a quarterback in the first round. They go in that third round pick.
If the Broncos roster is truly that bad, and this Mike Clay dude at ESPN, who's the number cruncher guy there, and he's been doing
roster boy, we call him.
He's been doing these roster rankings for years, and he has the Broncos at the 31st worst roster, second to worst roster. Then I don't draft a quarterback, because you know what? You're putting that quarterback in a position where a lot of other quarterbacks have been put in, surrounded by a bad team, and their careers are basically ruined by having such bad teams around them.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of that goes on.
But if you pick the right quarterback, then he should be able to handle. See, that's why I still kind of fight with this one. I have this internal struggle over this one.
Why is that?
People try to make the argument, you've even made this argument, that, well, you know, a lot of quarterbacks are ruined by the circumstances that they're placed in. I'd like to think the great ones, they would have found a way to rise above whatever was around them. The great ones.
Right. Okay.
The great ones.
That's fine. That's
so,
fine.
So I think it's a convenient out for a lot of these. It's a convenient excuse that's given to a lot of these quarterbacks that fail.
I love that you brought this up. So then let me pose a question to you. If you're drafting 5 or 6 quarterbacks in the first round like you try to do every year, how many of those guys are going to be great ones?
Great?
You just said if you're a great one, you can overcome it.
Right.
How many are great?
Great is the percentage of these quarterbacks that get drafted that are great.
The percentage,
I don't know, 5%?
Yes. So how many of
2%?
These, right. So therein lies the answer to the question. Then why are you always overdrafting these guys? If they're not great, they're not going to elevate your franchise.
Thank you.
They're just not.
Thank you.
So that's why you get a great football player.
Fine.
And not a also ran quarterback that maybe just because we drafted him in the first round, well, look at all the quarterbacks that all of them are drafted in the first round that make it. Why? Because we overdraft, like everybody that plays quarterback is drafted in the first round. If you look at all the quarterbacks in the league that have been drafted, the vast percentage, well, one, the highest percentage of them are drafted in the first round, they're overdrafted, and two, they're the ones that get the opportunities. So the dudes that are backups, they don't, like, we go through those guys like poop through a goose because they just don't get that many opportunities.
I'm just going to randomly pick one of these guys that are bust. Zach Wilson. The Cougar Hunter. If he truly is great, he would have risen above all the dysfunction around him in New York. If he was truly great,
he had an opportunity.
He would have.
Hey man, I thought the Jets with Aaron Rodgers win that division with that defense with Zach Wilson. They're a 500 team or whatever it is.
If Justin Fields is great, he rises above all the excuses that have been made for him. Oh, doesn't have an offensive line. Oh, doesn't have enough weapons. I don't care if he's great. He rises above that.
Yeah,
he didn't. And you go on and on and on and on with all these quarterbacks who fail. And that's why I think it's a convenient dodge to say, well, you know, they just didn't have enough around them. BS. If you're great, you rise above whatever situation you're put into.
But that's just why you can't just take one for the sake of taking one in the first round, especially when, what? Your roster is not what it needs to be.
And especially now that it's coming out, because there's enough of these former GMs now who are getting into, you know, media and podcasts, and the ugly truth is coming out, that the vast majority of these quarterbacks that do get overdrafted in the first round, the guys that picked them will tell you now, yeah, we either knew that this was a risk, or we certainly weren't convinced he was the right guy, but we needed a quarterback, I needed job security, I needed to do something that was going to inspire some hope with our fans. We picked the guy.
Yeah.
More and more that's coming out. And if that's a widespread strategy employed by these teams when it comes to overdrafting these guys, then shame on them. And boy, I hope Sean Payton is cut from different cloth. I hope that this is a guy that would never fall victim to that. I hope, and I think he is, but I hope he's not one of those guys like, man, I'm 60 years old and, I don't know how long I want to do this, and man, I gotta take a shot here. I gotta just roll the dice and hope that Bo Nix is the guy, because I'm not getting any younger. God, I hope he's not like that.
Yeah.
I don't think he is.
I don't think so either.
Jeez, I hope he isn't.
I agree.
No,
I don't think he is either.
Please, no.
So you think right now, as we sit here, you think they take a football player?
I do.
Of all the guys you looked at this week. You looked at a couple offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
You looked at Brock Bowers. You looked at Jared Verse, the pass rusher.
Yeah.
Who would you hope they come away with? Let me guess. Bowers.
Yeah.
Okay. He's your favorite player to this point. Of all the guys that are likely to be there when they pick. He's your favorite guy.
Yeah, he just has... It's such a huge, in today's NFL, it's such a huge part of what makes you multiple and makes you harder to defend and makes coordinators make decisions. And that is a huge strategy. That tight end, they can play multiple positions, they can do multiple things. Because if you truly have those guys, you can't be right as a defense. If you play us small, we're going to bludgeon you. You play us big, we're going to throw it over your head. That's a special position.
Coming up, what's trending? There was a special guest at the Nuggets game last night.
Ooh, really?
And he had the hardware, literally, to prove it. That's next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Tough finish for CSU last night in the tournament. We all knew that this thing wasn't going to go far, right? Maybe they win another game or two, but it eventually was going to end.
You had them. Where'd you have them going?
I had them beating Texas.
Yeah,
I did. I got caught up in the homer pick of it. Right. I have CU beating Florida, too. I might regret that
I think I went both the opposite on both those. That's why I'm ahead of you.
That's why you are. You're ahead of everybody. You're leading the whole fan staff here.
Huh. Weird.
Huh. You're like that no-name qualifier that comes out of nowhere to lead after the first round at the U.S. Open. We all know you won't be there by Sunday, but
No. I won't be in the finals by Sunday, but you know what I'll be doing?
Sun's out, yarbles out.
Yeah, I'll be
plums out.
Sending my plums, watching you guys
despite,
do good out.
Despite all of that, a tough way to go out, losing and not playing well against Texas. But Nico Medved able to take a look at the big picture.
I've been around some great groups. This group is just a phenomenal group of young men in every way. They're so fun to be around. They're such great human beings. They work so hard. They're so unselfish. And you know what? When you look back on it, this is a historic season. We got to our highest, tell me if I'm wrong, I think we got to our highest ranking in school history. We spent as much time as we ever have in the top 25 poll. We sold out the arena again multiple times. We got to the NCAA tournament and we won when we got here.
Yeah, and you know what? For what the standard has been for a long, long time with CSU basketball,
mm-hmm.
This has been a successful season.
Huge.
And I would say the same thing for CU as well.
Yeah. Nico, it's great to have you here.
Oh, you know something I don't know? Is Kentucky coming, calling? Looking to get rid of Calipari?
Everybody's trying to fire Calipari on national television
right now. I think Kentucky would be in much better shape with Nico Medved than they would be with John Calipari. Good times for the Nuggets right now. They win again last night. They're 13-2 since the All-Star break. Michael Porter Jr. and the Nuggets in a good place.
In the middle of the season, you don't really see the light at the end of the tunnel as far as getting a break for your body. I think now that we're what, 13 or 14 games out from the playoffs, you kind of see like, okay, it's time to gear up because, you know, off season is around the corner. We're not rushing to it. We're not looking forward to it. But it's not like you're just in the trenches of game 40 or game like 35 where it's just you don't really see the end. You don't. When we're excited for the playoffs, we're excited about where we're at.
Preach, man. Preach. Because I've been... Whenever the Avs or the Nuggets have a really stinker of a game or they're in a bit of a poor stretch, you know, people tend to freak out. I'm like, I've always said this. It's the big 82, man. It's 82 freaking games stretched out over months and months. When you're a team that knows that you're going to be playing in May and likely June, you just can't bring that energy every single night. And I know it frustrates fans at times, but you just got to understand the human condition and understand where he's coming from, that now they see that light at the end of the tunnel and they're starting to get energized because now they're getting to the part of the season where they knew they were going to be all along.
I was just disappointed that we didn't have the Commodores playing underneath. I don't know where Rogue was on that one. Really disappointing.
Michael Malone, by the way, took time yesterday, pretty unsolicited, to take some time out to endorse Kentavious Caldwell-Pope for Defensive Player of the Year NBA. And that's something he's been doing pretty consistently throughout the course of this season.
Now, you can't say enough good things about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He's a pro. He's a leader. He's about all the right things, completely selfless. And he goes out there and does his job every single night to the best of his ability. And that's why we call him first team, because he is a first team All-NBA defender in our eyes.
Culture, man. Culture.
They call him first team?
First team. Culture. You want to know what it is? You want to know how hard it is to find? It's having that. It's not just the stars. It's not just having the best player on the planet. It's just, it's all this stuff coming together. You had those kind of, you had KCPs. Who are the KCPs that you instantly come to mind on your teams?
Me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess so, actually.
Yeah.
No, that's fine.
KCPs. Guys who didn't necessarily put up big time stats, but were just really
come on,
big time.
Howard Griffin,
John Mobley,
just glue guys, right? Just guys that. Bubby was like that for you.
Bubby was that way. Yeah, I like that. I just like they call him first team. I love it.
We had a champion. Was at the game last night, and had the hardware to prove it.
I didn't make it there.
No, you weren't there. Oh. Wyndham Clark. Wyndham Clark.
Oh, the golfer.
The golfer.
Valor. Valor, yep. Christian.
Denver's own. Won the U.S. Open and was at the game yesterday and had the trophy with him. Was sitting courtside with the trophy right with him. U.S. Open trophy with him.
Seems like something kind of cumbersome to bring to the game.
Drink beer out of it.
How big is that trophy?
It's not that big. It's probably about, I don't know. He was holding it. It was probably like, it was on the floor. Basically, he was sitting down. I don't know. Probably came up to like his calf. Probably like, 2 feet, 2-3 feet high.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Hey, proof that right now this is kind of the golden era of Denver sports, right?
You got Wyndham winning. You got the Avs winning 2 years ago. You got the Nuggies.
Yeah. Now we got great.
They have the dual parade this year.
Michaela Schifrin doing her thing on the slopes.
Yeah.
Colorado zone. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Really good stuff.
Keep it going. So that is what is a trending. As we bring that to you a couple times a day, 7:30 and 9:30. Make sure you join me tonight. I'm going to be at the Ameristar Blackhawk from 6 to 8. Probably going to be there a little earlier, too. Just kind of hanging out, having some fun, watching the hoops. But make sure you're there because we got a lot of things going on. You can come on by, register to win some incredible prizes, including a staycation in one of their luxurious spa suites. We got a $250 dining credit that can be used at any of their restaurants, including the Timberline Grill or Fireside Kitchen. So hope you can make it on up the hill. Going to be a nice day. Beautiful ride up the hill. Come on by the Ameristar, and I'll see you there. All right. We'll get to some more Is It Just Me's. God, I love Friday shows. What Dexter said. Yeah, Fridays after Mark has been up. Why were you up until midnight again last night? Because I love it. Thank you. I wish you stayed up until midnight every night.
I know. I couldn't fall asleep. I was just it was hot, too. I haven't turned on the air. My room was too hot. That might have been it.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been. I put the fan on, but then the fan was making, you know, a click, 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 click every time it went around.
So, oh, it was oscillating?
Yeah, well, the fan on the ceiling fan.
Oh, the ceiling
fan. Had a little bit of
a little bit of a click?
Yeah, like a squeaker, a click.
And then once you hear it.
Right, you can't not hear it.
Right.
And then
it
was,
becomes louder and louder.
And then
louder.
I was laying there going, do I go downstairs and get my ladder and squirt some WD-40 on it? You know, then I started thinking. Once I start thinking, that's it.
That's true. Is that,
I don't,
isn't
I don't,
that the worst?
Yeah, I don't spend.
The worst.
The thing about me is I don't spend a lot of time thinking.
I know you don't.
So when it happens.
Oh, God. You get that. You wake up in the middle of the night. You start to think. And you're like, no. Stop it. But like, then you start thinking. Then you're done.
Like, when you get up in the middle of the night to go pee, and I'm always, like, standing there with my eyes closed going, don't think, which is almost just like it's code just, to start
exactly.
thinking.
You start thinking, yep.
Then you go, oh, shoot, I got to get, and then
no,
I got to do, and
no.
then you're like,
Don't do that. Coming up, an interesting what-if question on this Is It Just Me Friday. We'll run by you next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
On this Is It Just Me Friday, this one came in. I love this one. Is it just me, or I'd be more inclined to go see Evans at the Ameristar Blackhawk if he cordially invited me?
Well, that's a good point.
Good point.
That is a good point.
All right, you're cordially invited.
Yeah, it does feel better, doesn't
come
it?
Come on by. You're cordially invited. This question was asked.
Okay.
Guys, if the Broncos had hired Jim Harbaugh last season,
mm-hmm.
where would they be right now?
Where would they be?
What would they have done last year?
I believe they'd be in the same spot.
Would Russell Wilson still be here?
No.
You're saying Jim Harbaugh would have arrived at the same conclusion that Sean Payton did?
Correct.
Why?
Because, you could have kept Russell Wilson. And if you build a good enough team around him, you could have gotten 9 or 10 wins and slid into the playoffs. You know, I had somebody point this out to me yesterday. And this is one of the things that's crazy. People like to talk about how the game has evolved. People talk about that all the time, right? And in the same sentence, they'll tell me, and this particular, you know, Twitter follower, ex-follower said, well, Russell Wilson's numbers in 2013 when he won the Super Bowl and last year's number were almost identical. Okay? Right? They're almost identical. Inferring that Russell Wilson, with those numbers, could win a Super Bowl. Same numbers. You know what's different? Percentage of run versus pass. Percentage of times you're in 3-wide personnel versus 2-back personnel. You know what else is different? The athleticism of the average edge rusher from 2013 to 2024. The whole game from that particular point of view has changed. You're not going to escape out the back of every pocket and make a big throw down the football field. So it just is, the whole thing has changed. So yes, I do believe that Jim Harbaugh would have come to the same conclusion of that quarterback is not going to get us where we want to go. So instead of just continuing to kick the can down the road and be right where we are 2 years from now, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, whether the name is Russ or Flacco or Keenum or, you know, whoever else, doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. Finally, we have somebody that's going to just, you know, say, I'm not doing that again. And I do believe Jim is that same guy.
Yeah, that's why he was my 1A. Zach, 1A.
Meaning one being one, and the guy right behind one is like
just a smidge.
Right.
Just a smidge.
He's not all the way
one.
Down to two.
No. Difference between one and two is a
right.
difference. Difference between one and 1A
right.
is just so, like a sliver.
If you get a blue ribbon for being number one
uh-huh.
and a red ribbon for being second place.
Right.
1A would be a purple ribbon.
Okay.
Yeah, you weren't okay. quite.
I got you.
You didn't quite win.
I got you.
But you were nestled right up against
it. Right up against it. So,
like spooning.
Yeah. Blunt spooning. So, if you want to play the what-if game, yes, if Jim Harbaugh had been hired as the mm-hmm. guy, I'm pretty confident they would have had exactly the same kind of season win-loss-wise and would be in exactly the same position with Russ and would be in exactly the same position with the acknowledgement that, yes, this thing needs to be rebuilt.
Hmm.
So
I agree.
Somebody also asks, guys, do you think that Sean has the stomach and patience for a rebuild? He's not getting any younger. I don't know. I think we saw enough fire from Sean this past year to indicate that he's got plenty of enthusiasm, plenty of energy for this. He's only 60. Andy Reid's 66. Does Andy Reid look like he's slowing down anytime? You'd be amazed at how finding a quarterback and having a really good team is almost like the fountain of youth.
Yeah.
Andy Reid could be doing this until he's, you know, 72 easily. Easily.
Yeah, plus 60 is the new 45.
Is it?
Yes.
Who told you that?
I just made it up because I'm getting close to 60.
And you feel like you're 45?
No, I feel younger 60, than...
I think 60 is more like the new
40.
40, yeah.
Yeah, 60 is the new 40.
Absolutely.
I like that even better.
Absolutely.
60 is the new 40. Oh, dude, I feel better right now than I did when I retired at 35, 36. It's probably because I've got suns out, plums out.
Right.
I didn't realize that back when I was 35, 36, the difference that could make.
And now you're not subsisting on, you know, taco meat and cheese whiz.
That's right.
It still blows my mind. I can't tell you how jealous I am that there was a time in your life where you had to set an alarm to get up at like midnight to eat. That sounds so cool.
Yeah, I didn't really.
I'm unhappy because I eat.
But you just did it. You just got up.
I would just be always like, you know, running off to bed and going, I better eat something. Peanut butter and jelly.
Because eating's, I mean,
yeah.
if you enjoy eating, right, you can still be like supremely fit and everything like that and keep yourself in good shape and keep your weight down, but still really enjoy good food.
Right.
And so I love good food. And the idea that there are people out there who play sports that literally have to force themselves to eat is just like nirvana to me.
Dude,
did you ever get tired of it?
I would eat, yeah.
Really?
All the time, yeah. Man. Dude, I would eat a bowl of cereal while I was on the toilet in the morning.
Well, hey, if you're eating, if you got to eat like 9-10 times a day, I guess
like
you got a multitask, right?
Yeah. FIFO. First in, first out. Can't lose the weight. I knew I had a way in. Most of the time when I had a weigh in, I had to like eat and drink water and stuff because I knew I was going to be lighter than I should be.
I like this one from Scott in Denver. I'm 47. I feel like 72. What the hell? There are days like that. Definitely. Not many. Mark, how much has MPJ's boo rating gone up?
Oh, yeah. It's a great call.
Balls over opponent.
Balls over opponent. Man. His boo rating has shot up. Is it as high as Murray, KCP, Joker, Aaron Gordon? No. But my little boo is growing up. Like, if it was on a, like, say Joker has got, like, croquet type of onions. Okay?
That's just the big, just, heavy, right. Croquet ceramic balls.
Right. Okay. And then what's the next size right. down of that?
Yeah.
Whatever the next size down of big ceramic balls is. That's where the rest of the guys are. And then...
like a softball? Or a...
yeah.
Like a lacrosse, you know, a lacrosse ball.
Yes.
Lacrosse ball is very bouncy. Those heavy. Things, though, are
oh,
heavy.
Yeah.
You get hit by one of those?
Right.
So, leave you, Mark.
Yeah, or a tennis ball would be kind of croquet ball, tennis ball.
No, croquet ball, lacrosse ball.
Well, a cross ball is heavier, but a tennis ball is a little bit bigger than a croquet ball.
Okay. You know what else I put in this?
What?
Remember those orange balls that you use to play street hockey with?
Yes.
Those things. Those things. They're, I don't know what kind of plastic they made them out of, but those things, when they get cold.
Yeah.
Wow, those leave a mark.
That's what she said.
Yeah. What about the small, they had like the small, remember the rubber balls that you used to play like dodgeball with? And they had big ones, but they had the small ones that were just a little bit bigger than your hand.
They had those that
like,
that,
it was almost like they put sandpaper on the damn like thing had, like, so they, you could rip your skin
the
off.
The skin on those things were like,
yeah.
Yeah. You could get a good grip on it, but man, if you got hit with it.
Yeah.
In the face.
What was that like? Because I'm sure you were the kid getting hit at that.
What a day.
They threw it in my head. I couldn't miss his head, Mrs. Smith. Look at the size of the damn thing.
Talk about
D-bag. I was trying to hit him in the body, but his head just kept getting away. It's like a bobblehead falling all over the place. I couldn't help it. Smash him in the head with a rubber ball.
What'd I put up with?
Oh, I was saying that, I was going back. She wants to know how big Michael Porter Jr.'s balls are. I get it. That's all right. So you go.
Now that we've established the
right. red rubber ball, that would be that. Let's call that Joker.
No, Joker. I love Joker is the croquet ball.
Yeah, but the red rubber ball is bigger.
No,
I'm not talking about weight.
No, there's something about that those croquet balls that just feels like Joker to me.
Okay. If that's what gives that's you what the I got. Standard, that's going to be the biggest ball we talk about.
Yep.
It goes Joker, and then we go down because of the weight and everything else. Let's just go down. Let's eliminate tennis balls. Let's go to the what do you call that thing with the stick? Lacrosse ball.
Ooh,
let's go to the lacrosse. That's where everybody else is. The Murray's,
Gordon's.
Gordon, you know,
KCP.
Yeah. And then the next one down.
Maybe the street hockey ball.
Yeah, they're bigger than the normal ball.
Mm-hmm.
So go street hockey ball for MPJ.
Yeah. Okay.
But he used to be, I mean, he's grown from Raisinets.
True.
To walnuts.
Yes.
To regular testes.
Yeah.
To golf balls.
Golf balls, tennis balls. Yeah.
Then went to racquetball, and now he's at street hockey ball.
Yep. What's Jerry Judy?
Alrighty.
What's Jerry Judy?
What's Jerry Judy's boo rating? And Fever came in here and asked, are you ready to bury the hatchet with Jerry Judy? Folks, if you haven't, in case you're not, just go to Mark's timeline or Jerry Judy's timeline and then sit back, grab your popcorn.
Jerry's would be waiting to drop.
We're not even Raisinets?
No. They're just waiting to drop.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. By the way, speaking of people who are not exactly fan favorites right now, mm-hmm. did you see the new Carmelo Anthony commercial yesterday?
No.
With Kendrick Perkins. I don't know who the third guy was, but they were, Mello's giving out some kind of advice to Kendrick Perkins, and Perk is very dry. He says, I don't think you're equipped to give out advice. And it goes back to Mello's draft night, 2003, and they're wearing these wild suits.
The suits were cut back then.
It is over the, I thought it was funny.
Oh, good. But what was the commercial for?
I don't remember.
Yeah, it really made an impact.
It really did, but the, I remember the commercial. I don't know what the commercial was for, but it was pretty funny. Mello came across in a good light there.
Good. Good for Mello.
So, at least for a moment, I wasn't mad at him.
Boy, I tell you what. You're a big Mello fan when he won for the Qs.
Yeah, I loved him back then. I want to know what happened to that guy. Then as soon as he got into the NBA, he cared more about sneaker deals and going to all-star games and scoring points. I don't know what happened to that guy.
Yeah.
So anyway, hey, have a great weekend, everybody. I'll be at the Ameristar Blackhawk Casino tonight between 6 and 8. Would love to see you there watching all the hoops action. So come on by, say hello. We'll crush some wings and have a good time. So have a great weekend, Mark.
You too, buddy.
Rogue, Fever, you too. Everyone out there, be safe. Thank you so much for listening. All the texts and contributions to the show, we love you for it. We got Dover and Stoke coming your way next.